Trainer Mark Hennig, he wanted to get Bourbon War into the 145th Kentucky Derby. Perhaps it's good for all of us he didn't. Probably wouldn't be able to talk to us today if he had. But Mark's here now. Shug McGahee, by the way. Shug was ready to roll, had a prior commitment he could not get out of. Shug will join us tomorrow to talk about Code of Honor and the Kentucky Derby and its experience this year. But we got my main man, Mark Hennig, now. Mark, it's Anthony and Jude here on the Express Bet Radio. Thanks for joining us today.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Gerardo Ortiz Jr. will be reunited with Bourbon War for the Preakness. You announced that this morning. Talk a little bit about how your Colt's doing and the marriage between him and Gerardo Ortiz Jr.
Well, he's doing excellent. I mean, we were happy to retain Irad for him. And, you know, I think the time that we, you know, maybe hopefully it's a blessing that we didn't get to run in the Derby because, you know, we're kind of looking at the 7 weeks between races, which is kind of what we had between the Remsen and the allowance race he won in Florida, which kind of got his season start. So I feel like we kind of got a little freshening in the spring while hopefully the others were, you know, tiring themselves out a little bit. So we'll see what happens.
You had talked earlier about being in the Peter Pan and then decided to go in the Preakness. Were you trying to figure out which was the best way to go, or do you just have a good feeling about going into the Preakness right now?
Yeah, well, I think it was just, you know, we kind of sat back. We wanted to – we were never deadlocked on any set race. All along we said that, you know, the thing to do – finally we were in a position of being able to choose what we wanted to do instead of, you know, put demands of a point system or something. So, you know, it only made sense to sit back and watch and see who how the Derby, you know, fallout was, who won, how they won, you know, had Omaha Beach. There were a lot of things happened, obviously, yeah, the last week. So Omaha Beach, you know, if he'd have been in there and won by 10, we may have stuck to the Peter Pan situation. But, you know, the way things unfolded, the Florida horses really stepped up and gave a good account of themselves with Maximum Security and Code of Honor. And we just felt like, you know, we were very competitive with that group all winter. Why not go in that direction? And then as it turns out, you know, that none of them are even coming back. So, you know, we're getting a fresher group, which might be tougher in the long run.
Yeah, you know, it looks like a great move right now. I mean, that race on Saturday has to give you a ton of confidence. I mean, the way Shug's horse ran and the way the horse that crossed the finish line first ran. I don't even know how to talk about these horses anymore. But it looks like a good spot for you, and everything's coming up just the way you'd like it going into a classic race.
Yeah, I mean, we got a breeze tomorrow, and we got to get through a breeze and come out of it well. There's one thing we did learn Derby week is a lot of stuff has to go right and a lot can go wrong, and that even in the last week or so going into a race. So, you know, welcome to the world of horse training. It's just a tough business at times, and horse owning especially. But, you know, right now everything's perfect, and we hope it stays that way.
Let's talk about stuff that goes right and stuff that goes wrong. You're left on the outside. Bourbon War is left on the outside looking in. He's on the bubble for the Derby. You opt not to enter, along with a couple of other people. Kenny McPeak didn't enter Signalman. The Sormo didn't enter Sueño. There were a few horses, quite a few horses, that were considered bubble horses that did not enter. Only one also eligible entered on Tuesday. It was Boat Express, who wound up getting in. As fate would have it, the scratch of your brother-in-law's horse, Kieran McLaughlin's Haikal, would have gotten Bourbon War into the starting gate. Two questions. Any regrets? Why didn't you enter?
Well, the main reason, I mean, we weren't 22. We were 25. You know, we weren't 22 until You know, when we were training here at Belmont, it didn't look like we had any chance to get in. We got no indication from Churchill Downs or anybody associated with Triple Crown that we had a chance to get in. I got a phone call Monday evening from the racing secretary, Ben Huffman at Churchill, and he said, you know, I just talked to Kenny McPeak, and he's not going to enter, and Sueño's not going to enter, and somebody else, and you would be now 22 if you decided to go in, if you decided to enter. But he said, you got to be on the grounds by 10 o'clock tomorrow morning. And my horse is standing in the stall at Belmont Park, and it's 5 o'clock in the afternoon Monday. So at that point, I just figured it, and that was not knowing that Omaha Beach or Hi-Cal was going to scratch. So why are we going to, you know, pack up our horse, haul him down there? It's still a long year, and I know the Kentucky Derby is the Kentucky Derby, but, you know, to me, it's not sacrifice your horse to just go there and on the chance that you're going to draw in. And truth be told, we could have shipped a horse down there, and Sueño and McPeak could have entered at the last minute, and we'd have still been 24 on the list. So, you know, discussing it with the owners, we just kind of got kind of got confident in our other plan at that point. It's just, you know, we're going to sit back, watch, let things unfold. The weather didn't look like it was going to come up very nice, which was also a factor. And really, no regrets at all about not entering. Or, you know, had we been a trainer that was stable there and that, or if Churchill had a backup plan besides a one-turn mile, you know, we probably would have been there, but they don't. You know, they have the Pat Day mile, and then, you know, otherwise we weren't looking to back up and run a mile. So, you know, if they had a nice race for the horses that didn't get in, you know, then we would have probably been there.
Talking with trainer Mark Henning, he'll have Bourbon War next Saturday. Rod Ortiz Jr. will ride. Neither Derby winner, I think that's how I'm going to refer to him. Neither Derby winner. Sugar announced that Code of Honor is not going. Bill Mott, who also trains Country House, said Tacitus will point to the Belmont Stakes. Improbable signed on board, but the Derby not really sending a plethora of runners this year. And you mentioned it, Mark, a fresher bunch. Does that concern you, facing so many quote-unquote new shooters? Would you rather have some, you know, some worn-out three-year-olds shipping 700 miles, or, you know, this new bunch? There are some really nice horses, and you guys were included in that conversation when it looked like this Derby was going to oversubscribe in a big way. It looked like there was going to be a nice bunch waiting at the Preakness, including Bourbon War, and that's coming to fruition now.
Yeah, I think it's a really respectable group. I respect Owen Dale, you know, and Twist of Fate, all those horses. Always Mining. What's the horse name from Maryland?
Yep, Always Mining.
They're a real solid group of horses, and they all had, you know, good preps. Certainly, I would rather that. I'm certainly happy that Code of Honor, Maximum Security aren't going to be there, Country House for that matter, But I still think it's a very respectable group, and it's going to come up a solid race. And, you know, we've all seen where years where, you know, the best three-year-olds don't always come from the Derby.
What do you think, when all said and done, Bourbon War's best game is going to be? Is he the kind of horse where you're thinking ahead and saying, well, if he runs... You know, because like Jude pointed out earlier, you were thinking Peter Pan, you were thinking Preakness, you hadn't really made up your mind. Is he the kind of horse that maybe we see, provided all goes well in the Preakness, in the Belmont Stakes? Do you think he's a mile-and-a-half kind of horse, or more along the lines of it's a long season, races like the Jim Dandy and Travers in the second half of the year?
Yeah, I mean, we wouldn't definitely rule out the Belmont. I think everybody, you know, a lot of the clients are from New York, so that wouldn't be something that we'd decide until we ran in the Preakness, see how competitive we are and see how we come out of it. you know, I wouldn't be crazy about the 3 weeks rest, but you know, it just all depends on the horse at that point. In terms of the mile and a half, I don't really. I'm not going to sit here and say he wants a mile and a half because I don't know if any of them really do. I think Tacitus does, and Country House probably does, but I don't know that. You know, we just have to see as we go. But we wouldn't rule it out for sure.
All right. I have a prominent horseman on the phone, so I can't let you get away without asking you this. They make the right call on Saturday?
Oh, I feel like they did. I mean, I just thought it was unfortunate. You know, I think unfortunate for the folks involved. Probably in the long run, the game is going to benefit from all this conversation. Can they make rules that might be a little bit more improved? Yes, but I don't think that any horse should ever be allowed to do what Maximum Security did and not suffer some kind of penalty. And it wasn't the jock's fault. So, you know, I've heard people saying, well, they, you know, you don't take down the horse. Well, it actually was the horse that fouled. and I don't really see any way around that. You know, someone's got to be responsible when something like that happens. And thank God everybody came back healthy and we didn't have any big spill or anything. But, you know, all along we got to be able to discourage that kind of thing. You know, certainly consistency, yes, I'd love to see more consistency. But I think that the stewards made the right call. I don't think it should have taken them as long as it did. But I think maybe they spent the last 10 minutes of that trying to figure out whether it's placed the horse, you know, behind long range Toddy or not. I think that's some of the thought process that goes in with the stewards in a case like that.
You ever been involved in one in a long inquiry? Now, I mean, obviously not that long. You've been in, what's going through
not
your mind
long,
when you're involved
you know,
in that?
A few years ago at Belmont, I was involved in one where I wound up third, and the two horses in front of me bothered the horse that finished fourth, and I got kissed in from third to the win in a stake.
Wow, I don't remember that. Who was that?
A filly named Exchange Funds, something like that.
Wow, I don't remember that.
It was like one of those overnight stakes on the turf at Belmont in the spring meet, and they took down the first and second place finishers and put me up. That one took a while.
You brought up a good point. And something we haven't really heard, Jude, and I don't know if you've heard this either, where you don't – now, you do ride Luis Saez. You guys have had a lot of success together. He rode Strike Power last year, and Strike Power, man, he looked good. We'll talk about him in a minute. He looked great in his return this year. You know, talk a little bit more to that point where – because I think a lot of people – and then look, Luis Saez is an aggressive rider. I've seen Louis give rides like the one he gave in the Kentucky Derby many times, but he's riding for the Kentucky Derby. You can't really blame him. And, you know, a lot of novice fans out there talking about the puddles, the lights, the cameras. Just talk a little about what you mean by it was the horse more so than it was the rider.
Well, it was the sudden movement. I mean, I think the one thing that we, you know, a lot of the bettors are probably tired of and don't know what to think when there's an inquiry with the stewards today is that, you know, when there's been a lot of herding, as we call it here in New York, where, you know, the horses, the riders have a tendency to herd the field a little bit, you know, where it's a gradual coming in or coming out. That horse, you know, to me it was pretty evident that the horse reacted to something. And when he reacted, it was a very sudden move. It was more like a horse bolting, you know, and then War Will happened to be in his way, so he couldn't bolt too far. I don't know that Luis Saez could have done anything about
the few paths that he took over to his right, he did it in so quickly. We've seen it happen at the wire in races where a horse is alone on the lead and a jock falls off. It can really, if they move sideways quickly, it's hard to stay on board. So we're probably, one hand, lucky War Will didn't go down, but we're also probably lucky he was there, because he probably would have hit Country House if War Will wasn't there. So it's just one of those things where the horse saw something and decided he didn't want to be there. It was kind of just a fright move, where they run, fright and flight or whatever they call that. But he was looking to get away from whatever he thought, whatever boogeyman he thought he saw there. And that's probably the wrong word to use, because I know there's a conspiracy theory about the man on by the pole. But I meant the water, the light, whatever he saw. And believe me, horses can see things. It's amazing how one day someone could put a little cardboard box near the outside fence that's, a foot by a foot, and horses will think that is the most scary thing in the world if it wasn't there yesterday. So, they can see things at times, and they're very reactive. And I felt like in that case, the horse reacted. Luis did a great job of staying on and trying to correct him. I think when he corrected him, he came back down on Code of Honor, maybe even intimidated him a little bit. But I think that was the horse responding to both stimuluses.
Well, great stuff, Mark. Before we let you go, big effort from Strike Power on his return down at Gulfstream Park. How did he come out of the race, and what's next for him?
He's doing great. He's going to breeze here tomorrow morning. Johnny Velasquez is going to breeze him. The first race that we would probably have under strong consideration would be the True North, like the day before the Belmont. So, but he seems to have really come back strong. I'm really happy for the horse. He's doing super, and he's just amazing how big and strong he's gotten.
All right, well, best of luck with him. Best of luck next Saturday, May 18th. Mark Hennig's going to saddle Bourbon War for Bourbon Lane Stables and a bunch of others in the run for the Black Eyed Susan, Preakness Stakes. Arad Ortiz Jr. going to climb back aboard Bourbon War. Thanks, Mark. We'll see you tomorrow.